Welcome back to Silk Flowers and
Paper Mache Hearts. We are your hosts, Eric Hart
and Ashley Flowers. So,
I know it's the middle of winter, but it's about time to start thinking about summer. Summer stock, exactly. Summer jobs.
And there are so many.
Right, yeah. This is the time of year. If you're actually just getting into looking, you're almost too late. Mm-hmm. People are actually hiring right now and filling up their staffs for all that summer theater. So why would you do summer theater? This is, I think it's most important for students because mm-hmm. summertime is the only time you have free to actually do professional work. So you could kind of mm-hmm. finish up your semester, head on out to the mountains or the beach or wherever and come back with this fresh professional experience to carry into your next semester at school.
Yeah, I definitely feel that I learned the most when I was a student at summer stock. I did an internship in Utah, and it was the very first props internship that I did, and it definitely got me fully involved in props for the first time, because not a lot of colleges really immerse you into props, or they throw you into the prop world because they have nobody else to do it, and you kind of just figure it out as you go. But in summer stock, you're kind of guided, which is nice. And it's usually in a rep season, meaning there's multiple shows happening all at once, which I think is new for a lot of students as well. And good practice, because if you're freelancing, you're going to be doing a million shows at once all the time.
Right. And it's just also such a different atmosphere because you don't have other classes. You're not doing your math mm-hmm. homework while you're doing theater like 2 hours a day. It's basically all day, every day, just theater, getting the show up. And you're working with other people who are completely interested in theater. So you don't have to deal with the, mm-hmm. you know, business major who got put in your class and has to do 10 hours of theater practicum.
Yeah.
But it's also, you know, there's a lot of professionals who like it. They, especially designers, they grow up doing shows at this tiny little theater in Massachusetts. And so even when they hit it big, they go back every summer just because it's like a refreshing change of pace. Mm-hmm. They like the people there. They like the atmosphere, all that sort of stuff. So, and a lot of theaters, their full year staff have summers off, so they kind of it's a chance for them to like get out of the city or wherever they are and do something completely different. You know, you're not get away from the people you've been working with, so you could kind of come back refreshed.
Yes, definitely. You're ready for the new year.
Yeah,
it's also a great way to decide if you are still on the fence, whether that be with props or costumes or theater in general, because like Eric said, you are only doing theater. You know, this is what a job would feel like if you were in the theater as an adult. So I feel that it's great for just kind of testing the waters and be like, do I actually want to do this 24/7? Or do I just find this a fun thing to do at school?
Right. I know after my first season at Santa Fe Opera, I was a props carpenter, and I came back at the end of that like, whoa, I don't want to do anything else. Why do I have to do all this other stuff? This is the only thing I want to do. And it was like a real eye-opening kind of summer for me.
Yep. So let's dive in a little bit and talk about what type of theaters do these summer stocks and what you are to expect when applying for summer stock.
Yeah. I think, you know, summer stock, it goes back to the old stock theater, which mm-hmm. is they have a bunch of shows that they do every so often. So they have like stock scenery, stock props, stock costumes. And so it'll be these small theaters, usually in vacation towns. You know, people are getting away. It's New England. It's on the beach, that sort of stuff. And so they'll do like some Shakespeare and some Neil Simon and all the old favorites, mm-hmm. you know, breaking them out, that sort of thing. So it's, you know, like you said, they do them in rep. So it'll be like their entire season, five or six shows, and they'll build them, tech them sort of all at once, open them up. And then throughout the rest of the summer, every day they switch the set around and do a different show. Yep. So it's so like, you know, when you go on vacation there, you're there for a week, you get a chance to see every show. So throughout the summer, like all these people taking their tiny little vacations get a chance to watch every single show in their 1 week that they're there.
Yeah. And usually in summer stock, specifically for when you're an intern at summer stock, you play multiple roles, even within the props department. You know, you could be props runner, props artisan, Prop Shopper all in one show, where normally in the real world, you might only be the props runner or only be the props artisan or props head. So that's also nice for students as well to kind of get a taste of the different parts of the props department or any other department.
And then you also have these like summer festivals. So this might be where they're doing new work rather than just stock work. So it'll be get a whole bunch of new shows up on their feet, or they might have a lot of workshops or anything. I know one of the big ones is New York Stage and Film, which you actually worked at, Ashley.
Yes, I did that one of my first summer stocks. Well, no, the first summer stock that I was the props head. And it was very exciting and very nerve-wracking. You know, it's the first time where, like, I'm in charge. I'm like, ooh, okay. But it was so much fun and insane. It was an insane summer. It was nice because they housed you, which most summer stock theaters do that I've experienced. And you're right next to the theater. You wake up in the morning and you work until it's midnight with your staff. And they did, oh goodness, I don't even know how many shows they did. They had, I believe, two main stage shows, which were the fully produced, fully big shows done. And then they had, let's see, I think they had five workshops. And those weren't fully produced, but they weren't just, you know, the scripts and the stands. They had a little bit of props and such. And then they had two reading festivals that contain, I think, five or seven plays or musicals in each festival. And for those, props didn't have much to do with, but if they needed something, you know, a chair or something, we would provide that for them. But that's all happening at once.
Right.
You know, day one, we're given our schedule and you're like, okay, let's figure out how we're going to make all this happen in 3 weeks. We're just not going to sleep.
Yeah. That's definitely, one of the big differences between summer stock and a year-round job is it's way more concentrated.
Yes, like, definitely. Yeah. And you're definitely pushed too, because, you know, you are going into these professional theaters and they're expecting you to provide a certain level of work. And you're working with designers, like you said, who most likely have gone off, become big designers, and they come back because they like this theater. And that definitely happened at New York Stage and Film. We had a lot of high-end designers there, which was great and exciting, but it was also nerve-wracking when they're like, great, so we're going to need this couch fully reupholstered? Thanks. And you're like, well, I've only done a cushion, but let's figure it out.
Right.
You know, and you do. You figure it out, and then you go, oh, wait, I do have these skills. And you realize that all of the small projects that you have done in the past, you actually can't apply to a larger project. You have all of this knowledge. You just had to be pushed to actually do it, which is what I loved the most about that specific summer stock. But yeah, it's insane, but it's fun.
Exhausting, but
it's exhausting. And you know what? I think so. I sometimes relate summer stock to childbirth. Maybe this is a terrible analogy and I shouldn't use it, especially since I've never had kids. But I feel like people always say, you know, childbirth is so painful and it's like horrific and they hate it. But then they have this beautiful child at the end and then they kind of forget how painful it was.
Right. They want to have another kid.
I feel like that's kind of what summer stock is. Like, it's very painful, but it's so much fun and you get this beautiful, like, props and or this beautiful production out of it and amazing. And then you leave and then January comes around. You're like, let's do it again.
Yeah.
You know? But it is fun, and it's definitely rewarding.
Yeah. Now, there are certainly horrible, truly horrible places to work and horrible summer stock experiences, which we could talk about at the end of the episode. But let's talk about how do you even find these jobs? How do you even get these jobs, especially for these people who, like, are just starting out, students who don't know? Where do you find out?
So that's always the biggest question for everybody. It seems like this huge void that you're staring into and you're like, where do I go? My biggest advice is speaking to your professors, because I guarantee that they know several different summer stocks from students in the past, and going to offstagejobs.com. That's the one that I found all of mine from and from professors. There's also some other sites that you can use, ArtSearch and Playbill. I actually never used Playbill for finding prop work, but I have used ArtSearch and it's pretty nice. You do need to have a login and everything for ArtSearch. And I'm not sure if Art Search is a subscription?
It is. I think it's if you subscribe to TCG.
Which, yeah, for you guys should know, student-wise,
yeah,
your professors most likely will have an Art Search, or right, somebody in the department.
Will.
So yeah, don't pay for it. You know, ask for that login, right, information. It's like Netflix. Just borrow it.
Yeah. You know, they used to have a printed Art Search. This was back when I was in college. They would, every month, you would get this like tiny little magazine that had every Art Search posting printed in it. Yes. And it was a while before they started putting them online. So you would just like go see the secretary of the Department of Theater and like pick up the latest Art Search, start flipping through it, you know, see what you want to sign up for. But yeah, Offstage Jobs kind of catches a lot of them, and they're free. So they're really, yeah, good. It's kind of like December, maybe some in November, is when, mm-hmm, theaters start posting who they want for their summer jobs. And that'll continue on through January, February. And then March, a lot of these places are kind of aiming for the SETC job fair, mm-hmm, which, if you have a chance, I think by the time this episode will air, you will still have a chance to plan a trip to Knoxville, Tennessee, to the SETC conference and sign up for the job fair. So SETC, even though it's the Southeastern Theater Conference, the job fair has theaters from all over the country, and it's, mm-hmm, essentially this giant, giant convention hall, and every company is there, and they've listed every job that they're looking for, and you could go to the app, or they have giant signs there and see like who's looking for summer help, and broken down by department too, so all the props jobs, and kind of just like walk around and see all the companies you're interested in, and sign up for interviews, and then they kind of break off, they'll give you a scheduled time, and you can interview with all these companies while you're there as well. Yeah. So it's one of the biggest job fairs, especially for summer theater employment.
Yeah, and it's February 27th to March 2nd.
So yes, it definitely so is coming soon, up very quickly. Soon, yeah. And
if, I actually never went to this.
Okay.
And I was in Indiana. Like, I was definitely in the area of to go do it.
Yeah.
And my school went. My school totally went all the time. And I was just like, eh.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know why I never did it.
Yeah, I always wanted to. I did it once. I did it a couple of years ago.
just a few.
And it was definitely really helpful. Again, you get a good sense of all these theaters out there, because there's, mm-hmm, some you've heard of, but there's so many you haven't heard of. And just because you haven't heard of it doesn't mean it's not going to be a good experience. So you could kind of like cast this wide net and interview with them. So when, mm-hmm, I did it, they don't do this anymore, but when I did it, because the convention's in a hotel, all the companies then have hotel rooms. And so for your interview, you go up to all the different hotel rooms where they are, which, you know, there's lots of people around and it's on the up and up, but it still feels like really shady. You're like sitting on the edge of a bed, spreading your portfolio out on somebody's bed. It's like, pray that they actually cleaned up their stuff and there's not
maybe we find a better way to do that.
So now I think it's they have like tables off to the side, so you don't actually leave the job fair area. Some of them do it right at their booths, but they also have all these side tables, or like I think they might have smaller rooms as well, that kind of thing. But yeah, you walk around, you put your name on the lists, asking for interviews. Some of the theaters are not very competitive, so you get an interview right away. Some of them kind of check through your resume to see if they want to give you an interview, because they have lots of people applying. So like your Santa Fe Opera, your Glimmerglass, your Utah Shakes, all that sort of stuff. Basically, how much stamina do you have? How many interviews do you actually want to sign up for? Because you could be going like nonstop, like every 20 minutes, another interview, and you forget, mm-hmm, what you're talking about. So you definitely want to bring many copies of your resume. You want your portfolio with you. You want business cards, all that sort of stuff, ready to like hand them out to everybody who's asking. And then one of the one of the rules of SET's C job fair is none of the companies are allowed to offer anybody a job until SETC job fair is over. So you won't get any offers at the time. Yeah, it's kind of like it's either Sunday or Monday after the conference ends is when they're allowed to start offering jobs. So they can't.
That's pretty great.
Yeah, they can't like give you a job. So it doesn't matter if your interview is right at the end of the conference. You're not going to, you know, somebody's not going to grab that job before you get a chance to interview. They have to interview everybody there. So that's really good. And then, so a lot of these companies, you know, they're kind of waiting to see who they get at SETC. So if you're not going and you apply to a company, you could kind of expect after the conference is over, that's when they're probably going to get back to you.
Now, there's also other conferences like USITT, but I think USITT might be a little bit late for some summer jobs, but yeah, it is always good to go for making some connections and networking.
Yeah, they don't have a actual job fair. Everything they have there would just be set up with the company. So some companies are still looking, but honestly, the way a lot of companies do their staffing is they start off in like December, January, asking previous employees if they want to come back and see who they have coming back. And then they'll kind of like, go through and see what other roles they could fill. So, by the time SETC comes around, they're like, okay, these are the 12 positions we have to fill. And maybe SETC gives them like 10. So by the time you get USITT, it's like, oh, we're still looking for, an electrics intern and a production management internship. We have our prop shop fill, that sort of thing.
Yeah,
so it's you're taking your chances.
And USITT this year is March 20th to the 23rd in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yes.
Yep, Louisville, Kentucky. I don't know why. Yep. I had to think where Louisville was.
Right.
Right across the border from Indiana where I grew up, but it's cool.
Uh-huh. I know when I lived in Louisville, we would go to Indiana for lunch sometime.
Why?
So it was like, so
why
close.
Why would you want to go to Indiana?
Because it's like, because you just take the bridge over and you're in like suburbia where you could go to all the fast food places.
Yeah, but see, that's not Indiana. That's called Kentuckiana. And I am dead serious. Any fellow Hoosier out there listening knows exactly what I mean when I say that is Kentuckiana.
Right, yeah.
We don't claim that area.
I see.
Moving on.
Yes. So there's a, depending on where you go to school, they might have their own job fairs. There might be like other festivals where some companies go. I know if you go to KCACTF, some of the bigger companies kind of go there. Again, Santa Fe, Glimmer Glass, depending on what region, they might be doing some recruiting there as well. So always keep your eyes and ears open and see, like, if you know a company's going to be somewhere, kind of figure out if you want to talk with them, have your resume ready.
And now when you're there and you do have an interview, it's always the big, okay, what do I do for the interview? And a lot of people think, okay, they're going to ask me a lot of questions. I better have my answers correct. I better be on it. Da, 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 da. But you should also be asking just as many questions.
Right.
Anytime I interview, I like to pretend I'm actually interviewing them. Like, why should I take this job?
Yeah.
Because, yes, I want the job, but I need to make sure it's going to be a good fit for me. So there's always some basic questions that you want to ask the person.
Totally. Yeah. It's kind of like, especially at the job fair, it's like speed dating. It's like,
it is.
Quick, what do you got? What do you got?
Let me know.
Yeah. So definitely with a summer stock job, hopefully you've done some research, but again, it could be tricky if you're applying to a lot of places. You want to know the length of the season, especially, if you have to fit it around your school schedule. Is the season going to be over by the time you need to be back for classes? And then just for the prop shop itself, you want to know, like, how many people are in the shop? If they're hiring a props master, are you the only one? Or is it like an assistant, some artisans, some interns? And if you're applying for an internship, you definitely want to know how many people are in the shop. Because if you're an intern, especially if you're being paid under minimum wage, then you should definitely have trained professionals there educating and guiding you. You don't. There are some companies out there where their entire technical staff is intern, which is not good. It's like, oh yeah, you're the props intern. You do all the props for the shows. Nobody's going to show you how. That's not an internship.
You're like, wait, what?
Yeah. So, how many people are in the shop?
Those.
Yeah. you know, how many shows are you doing? Basically, like, what's the schedule kind of thing? Is it really, you know, are you churning out a whole bunch, or are you, you know, taking your time on a few? How quickly? Again, is it in rep? Can you handle that? You know, do you want to try to do that sort of thing?
Yeah, because there's a big difference from doing, you know, one play in 2 weeks versus doing a musical in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, a musical is usually going to have a lot more props and a lot more furniture that's going to be danced on, you know? Yeah. So
quick scene changes.
What is my season going to look like?
Yeah.
And I also always like to ask if there's workers' comp, because some theaters, generally the ones that I've worked for, do have workers' comp. If they don't, then I would definitely ask what happens. You know, is there procedure, is there protocol for if I get hurt on the job and I don't have insurance or anything, what exactly is that? Because, I mean, we work in an environment that it's so easy to get hurt. Mm-hmm. You know, we take our precautions, of course, and always safety first. But something can always happen. So always making sure, you know, what will happen if this happens? You know, if you're applying to be the props master, the props supervisor, whatever the title they choose, there's some additional questions you want to ask. You want to ask, are you doing the hiring, or is company production management doing the hiring? For me, I want to be doing the hiring because I want to know who I'm getting. I want to get people who have skills that maybe I don't to balance out the shop. You also want to know what the stock looks like. Do I have a stock, or is it two chairs and a closet and maybe a broom? How is the shop set up? Do I have a lot of table space, or is it a small room that's next to the hallway that you have to upholster the couch in the hallway?
Yeah.
What? I've never
or do
done
you
that.
Even have a shop, or are you borrowing a corner of the scene shop, or...
Exactly.
Yeah, there's some places where it's like the prop shop is in a barn and it doesn't have AC and you have to lug up buckets of water because there's no plumbing up there.
Yep, exactly, like, exactly.
Oh, man.
And definitely for carpentry, am I sharing a table saw, or am I lucky and I have my own table saw and chop saw and band saw, or do I need to coordinate with the TD of scheduling of, hey, I need to build this chair or this bench or this table. Obviously, you're using the saws constantly because you're building the set. When can I squeeze in there for a few hours to use it, you know?
Yeah.
So there's definitely a lot of things to consider when speaking to the person who's interviewing you.
Yeah, because you're not going to have a chance to see this place before you go there. I mean, they're not going to fly you out to like have an on-campus interview or an on-site interview. It's like they're hiring like 30 new people every summer to come in and do their five shows. And your first day of work is the first time you're seeing all this.
Exactly. And that brings us to, how do you know if it's a good place or not? Is it a good fit?
Yeah.
You know, there are some amazing summer stocks out there. There are also some that could be better.
Yep.
And so you also kind of want to feel that out. You know, my biggest thing is when they're giving you the job description and you're noticing it's more than just props, like, oh, you also might, you know, be doing some production management for one of the other shows. It's okay. It's small. It's little. Don't worry about it. Or, oh, you might help with costumes on their slow day or blah, 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 blah. Those are a little bit of red flags for me because it means, one, I'm not solely focused on the job that I thought I was applying to. And two, it kind of, to me, makes it feel a little less organized than I like. But you also do have to keep in mind it is summer stock and it is about banding together and getting the show done.
Right.
So it's one of those things you kind of got to feel through and be like, am I being asked to do a lot more than what props is? Or is it more of like, just when you need help, I'll help you out kind of situation?
Yeah. And it is, especially as a props intern, it's definitely common for them to hire interns to work in the shop while the shows are going up and then run the shows once the shows are running. That's actually fairly common. And so that's a good way to get your foot in the door, because they're not necessarily relying on you to build everything, but you get some time in the shop and then you get to run the shows and potentially like get one or two projects in your portfolio by the end of the summer. But it's like,
exactly,
when they're asking you to like take tickets or serve drinks at their fundraising gala or all this kind of like
stuff like that, you're kind of like,
it's like, that's okay. You know, if you're being paid hourly, sure, but if you're an intern getting a stipend, you know, under minimum wage, then it's like, now you're just getting free illegal labor.
exactly. Also, asking if there's housing, because if they don't have housing, that's where I kind of go, is this really worth it? Because you're not going to get paid a lot during summer stock. And if you have to, if it's not in the state that you live in and you have to, you know, move and you don't have housing, then that's definitely a problem.
If the housing costs more than what you're making.
Exactly.
That's a lot. Yeah. Yep. One good thing to find out if it's a good place to work is see how much turnover there is. So especially if you're not going to be the person in charge, if they have the same props master there for like 5, 10, 15 years, that means that person likes coming back. If they've had a new props master every year for the past 10 years, that tells you that there's something about the place.
Something else.
There's some reason they can't hold on to them. So, you know, try to find out like how much turnover there is and that sort of thing. Obviously, they're going to have a new intern every year or a new, you know, a new apprentice, or the lower positions are going to have a lot of turnover, because once you have experience, you're not going to go back to a low level job. But
exactly,
you know, it's especially if, like, even if there is a lot of turnover, if it's people who have worked there before working their ways up the ranks, that, you know, that doesn't mean,
And I always find it helpful, you know, find somebody that has been there. You know, the theater world is a lot smaller than we always think it is. I guarantee you know someone who knows someone who has worked there in the past.
Yeah.
And try to get in contact with them and be like, hey, give me the dirt. What should I really know about this place, you know?
Yeah.
I really liked the interview, but like, what am I really getting myself into? And just have them be honest with you. Also, ask them when they were there. You know, if they were there last year, awesome. If they were there 10 years ago, probably not going to be very helpful, because a lot changes that time period.
Totally, yeah.
So just using your resources and researching as much as you can on the places that you have applied to. Also, try doing that research before the interview, because the more you know about the company, the better you will be able to answer questions and ask questions during the interview.
And, you know, something I've done before, now you have Facebook. So it's like, if you could, even if you're not friends with the props master at the theater, go to their Facebook page. And if they have, like, you know, a giant photo album of like best summer ever, and it's pictures of them like doing work and having fun at the summer stock, that's a lot different than like somebody who just has these, you know, vague postings like, I am so tired and sick of this company. You know,
yeah, exactly. Sort of thing.
You could sometimes glean some information just from what's out there publicly without having to ask anybody.
Yes, exactly.
You know, there's like some people I don't even know, but you go to their Facebook page and you're like, oh, I want to work there. That looks like so much fun.
Right.
Everybody so got true. Matching t-shirts.
They're having cookouts.
Yeah.
Yeah, there definitely are summer stocks that, I mean, I've gone to that I'm like, I would totally go again and again and again if I had the time. And unfortunately, sometimes it comes down to, it's like, okay, I just can't take that pay cut at the moment.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
That's the sad part. Because some of them, I mean, you really do. You make amazing friends, lifelong friends. You have great memories, and you really become like a huge family at the end of it.
Yeah.
Whether it's a family that gets along or hates each other, one way or the other, it's going to be family.
Yeah, it's like, it's the beginning of your network. So like the people you work with, even if they're not in the props department, it could be other departments, but you're kind of going to be hitting the same career milestones at the same time. So you'll be, you know, the props master at a Lord Theater at the same time your TD becomes the TD at a different Lord Theater. And now you know somebody at that theater.
Yep, exactly. So the other big question that a lot of people ask is, okay, when will they get back to me? Like, when do I know? What should I do? Should I take another job? What, da, 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 you know, there's always all these questions.
Yeah.
And honestly, I mean, if you haven't heard back in a couple weeks, I always say, like, have a follow-up email.
Yeah.
I have never had a problem with someone emailing me, hey, I'm still very interested in working for you. I just wanted to check in if you had made a decision on this position yet. If you had, thank you for your time. If not, like, I really hope to hear from you again or something like that. And also, if you get another job offer, I love when people email me and say, hey, so-and-so just offered me a job. I'm very interested. Have you made a decision yet? Because I'm also interested in you as well. Mm-hmm. You know, and just kind of keeping them in the loop and that. And each company is different on the waiting game, I guess you could call it.
Yeah.
With it being summer stock, it's usually a lot quicker. But there was one summer stock I interviewed for and ended up working for, but the process of hiring was so slow that it took, I was hired fairly quickly, but my staff, I had gone through like four of my top options for my assistant because the process was so long that by the time it got to a job offer to the assistants, they had already taken another job.
Yeah.
And so I always like to, you know, let me know if you had another job offer. So then I can either pull you out or I can really push to get into my staff or just, you know, shoot me and be like, hey, I'm still wondering.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I've never had a problem with.
Right. There's it's a big waiting game for everybody because like, you know, this theater is interested in these two people and their first choice is waiting to hear from two other theaters.
Yep.
And so they have to wait for one of those theaters to make a definitive answer so that they could get a definitive answer from person one before they tell person two. But person two's second choice theater gives them a job offer right away. So they need to know by the end of the week. Otherwise, they're going to take the worst offer. And it's like, sometimes you wish you could just get everybody in a room and and be like, let's divvy up and figure out who's going where, but you can't. And so even theaters that are like really on their game, they're literally waiting for other people to make decisions. And, you know, they want to hire in order. They want to get their props master first and then get their assistant props master and then get their artisans and then get their interns, you know, because they want a shop that works well together. And then there's also other theaters that just aren't on their game and really do wait too long and that sort of thing. So you're fighting with all that. So really, like you said, just send emails that are just completely transparent. Be like, you're my first choice, but I have another job offer. I have to answer in a week and I want to know, you know, where I stand or what I'm waiting for or something.
Yeah. And that's never going to make somebody go, oh, I don't want to hire this person. They just emailed me. How ballsy of them.
Right,
you know, that's never going to be the case. I have never encountered any job in my life where I have reached out and said, hey, I just want to check in. You know, that shows initiative. That shows that you've got it together, you're prepared, you're ready, you want this and you're gonna go and get it, you know. You're not just like waiting by the phone twiddling your thumbs.
Yeah. And you know, sometimes you just gotta kind of suck it up. You take your second choice and then you know, sign a contract, and then weeks later your first choice is like, hey, are you interested? You're like, oh no, you know what, just wait. If they were interested in you this year, then they'll probably be interested in you next year, and maybe they'll get back to you sooner.
And that also brings up a good point of contracts. You know, you do sign a contract with these summer stocks, and I do feel that I've encountered students sign a contract, and then exactly what you just said, they hear back from their top choice. They're like, dream summer stock. And then they're like, crap, like, now I'm stuck into this other place. I really wanted to go there. And maybe I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyways because I feel like it needs to be said. You can get out of contracts. You know, your contract is not life or death. You're not going to like, it's not going to destroy your career. If there is a situation in where you really, really, really want somewhere else and you just think it's a better fit, and obviously it's not like 2 days before you're supposed to go there because then that would be kind of crappy. But just being open and honest with the people that you did sign the contract with and say, hey, my first choice, they actually came back and they said no at first, but now they're back and they want me. And I really, really want to go there. Yada, yada, yada. These are the reasons why, but I still love your company and I do want to work for you, but I really think this is the best career choice for me. Yeah, some people might get a little butthurt about it, but if you truly believe that it is the right career move for you and you think you're going to grow more somewhere else, then by all means, you know, do it. You're not going to, the world's not going to explode that you broke a contract. You're going to be fine. You got to look after yourself and your career, you know? So I always feel like some people get really, really freaked out about that, which I understand why, because I wouldn't want to break contracts left and right. So that's why I say, you know, in dire situations, it's going to be okay.
Definitely if you haven't signed the contract yet, even if you've said yes.
Definitely if you haven't.
Right. It's definitely awkward. And you know, some people, if you're like, oh, I know I said yes, but now I'm saying no, they're going to be like, well, you're never working here again. And I'm going to tell everybody, blah, blah, blah. It could be not only awkward, but like very, very anxiety, inducing sort of thing.
And here's the thing, like, people will say that, like, oh, you're never going to work here again, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I take that. I mean, I've never had that happen, but if that were to happen, I'd be like, okay, well, then maybe I didn't want to work with you in the first place if this is how you're going to react.
Yeah, that's definitely very telling. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
I'm always the person that feels that everything works out in their own way and that we should all be supporting one another. And if that means going somewhere else, then that means, okay, you know, this really sucks and puts me in a bit of a pickle, but if that's what you need, then you should go do that. Also, I'm not saying, like, the week before you're supposed to go to the summer stock, that would be a dick move.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, say you just signed the contract and it's like 2 days after. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the scenario. Yeah.
The worst, the first day comes and you don't show up. And then they call you up and you're like, oh, actually, I'm not going to come. I mean, yes, there are obviously like ways to do it that are really bad. But I know plenty of people who have had very legitimate reasons, not having to do with other jobs, but very legitimate reasons to have to leave summer stock in the middle of summer and break their contract. And it definitely left a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths, but their careers were covered. You know, they're still working in props. They're still having a very successful career. I mean, it's summer stock, especially if you're a undergrad or a grad or some kind of student. I mean, you can recover from that. It's not going to be this black mark that follows you for the rest of all time. People look up your theater permanent record.
Yeah, right. And I feel though when you start out, though, there is kind of that idea of, oh my gosh, if I screw up, I'm ruined. My career is over.
Right.
And here's the thing. People hire people all the time. You know, you're going to be fine. One bad job is not going to destroy your career. Multiple bad jobs will.
Right.
But that one, you're going to be fine. Mm-hmm. But in that moment, though, it's going to feel that, like, oh crap, I'm never going to get work again.
Yeah. If you develop a pattern of breaking contracts, then that'll kind of get around sort of thing, you know. But, you know, once you have, you know, if you have more people saying you're great to work with than you have saying you're bad to work with, you know, everybody's going to have like one person out there going, oh, this person's horrible to work with.
I have somebody out there that says about me.
You hired her.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I even had that person be like, I will never work with you again. I'm like, that's fine. I'm okay with that. I'm doing okay without you. It's good.
Yeah, I just heard a great quote. This probably is better for like freelancers, but it's works here too. There's three things that make people want to hire you. It's another one of these three things, and if you do two, sort of thing. Three things you need to have people hire you. You do good work, you do your work on time, and people like working with you. So you only need two of those for people to want to hire you again after working with you. If you, you know, if you do your work on time and people like working with you, it's okay if your work's not the best at the moment, you know, they'll still want to work with you. So never think that you have to be perfect in every way or you've lost all your chances. And I think, especially because a lot of these summer stock internships are fairly exploitive, there's a lot of people out there trying to convince people that if they don't play ball with it, their career is going to be ruined. If they don't put up with horrible working conditions or under minimum wage pay or their horrible housing or things like that. That's how a lot of these like smaller, crummy theaters get around, because they essentially like gaslight all their interns that if they say anything or do anything, they'll ruin any chance they have to work in theater.
And they're just like, no.
Yeah.
Well, on that happy note. So we hope this was helpful and you learn a little bit and are applying, have applied, got a job, getting a job, any of the sort for summer. Feel free to email us with any ideas or questions, whether it be about this episode or future episodes or past episodes, at propspodcast@gmail.com. And make sure to follow us on Twitter at Silk Mache. And we also have a Facebook page now, just Silk Flowers and Paper Mache Hearts, where we will post our episodes weekly as well.
And subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify. And check out our website at silkflowersandpapermachehearts.com, where you can find all of our old episodes and a link to our Patreon page if you're interested in helping support us financially. Patreon lets you sign up to donate a small sum on a monthly basis. And if you donate over a certain amount, you get to be personally thanked at the end of every episode. So thank you, Jay Duckworth, for being our number one supporter on Patreon.
This has been another episode of Silk Flowers and
Papier-Mâché Hearts with your hosts, Eric Hart
and Ashley Flowers. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.